for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2012 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday evening, May the 27th, 2012, Carla Batod is the speaker of this service teaching on How Will You Respond in What You Heard?
Kevin has quite a variety of files up on our website at LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. If you go to our homepage and click on free audio, you will see that there are how many that are available? Over 100 full messages available that you can listen to for free. So I always want to encourage people, not just for you, but become familiar with what's up there because you can refer other people there. You know, none of us have, we don't have all the answers. Jesus has all the answers. Nobody has it all. But the variety and the different anointings, those messages are anointed. They're anointed to teach and to heal and to deliver. And those are, a lot of those men and women have gone on to be with the Lord. But the anointing is there to set you free. Just as freedom has come to you in this series of meetings, there's more. There is no way, unless God supernaturally stepped in, and there's no way that we can get it all in one camp meeting. It's just, now maybe at some point that's what it's going to happen. You know, I don't know. But the variety that's out there, if you're interested in spiritual warfare, if you're interested in the curse of the bastard, if you're interested in anything to do with generational sins. There's just so much available that you can glean from and learn from and then be able to share with other people. There's a lot of folks out there that are, do you know that close to 75% of the people that are coming to these camp meetings now have found us on the internet? People are searching. They're desperate. They want help. They're looking for something that they don't have, and they know, they believe that God has something more for them, but they're not finding it, and they're looking.
Yeah.
And thank God for the internet. It has opened a whole other venue for God's kingdom to reach out internationally, not just here in the United States, but internationally. So avail yourself of that. Become familiar with it. Would you please come? Sister Carla is, we're just glad to have her bring the word of the Lord tonight. Amen.
Can I ask y'all to stand up one more time, please? And I'd like for y'all just to repeat this prayer with me because, you know, one can chase 1,000, 2, 10,000, do the math. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you've given us power over all the power of the enemy. We exercise that power now. And we bind the kingdom of darkness. We bind every spirit of the witch, the wizard, the warlock, the witch doctor, every spirit working from the kingdom of darkness. We break their power now in the name of Jesus Christ. And we send out the warring angels to scramble the plans and the assignments that the enemy has against us. The saints of God, the kingdom of God, Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, and every other work of the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Aren't y'all glad y'all came?
Amen.
It is good to see the faces change. When you first get here, there's so much heaviness on people. We walk through life and stuff attaches to us and drags us down and weights us down and makes us sad and makes us anxious. And it's good to have a place to come and unload. That's what I love about coming here. We stay unloaded. If you come, you'll stay unloaded. And that's a good thing. You get freer and freer. You continually sit under the message of deliverance and evangelism and salvation and healing. Whatever's being preached, the power is there to do whatever's being preached. And that is a good thing. Tonight, I want to sort of give y'all some stuff to go home with to have success at what you have received here. Okay? Let's see. Okay, I'm going to call this, how will you respond to what you've heard these days? How will you respond to what you've heard? I got to tell you, it's your move. And it's time to move. Okay, we're going to look at some scriptures, kind of have like a review. And then we're going to have a pop test. You know, I used to hate that in school. Take out a piece of paper and a pencil. We're going to have a pop test. Why does this freak me? I hate a test. Okay, first scripture we're going to look at is Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. I'm going to have kind of a review. Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. Well, I'm going to start at 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We think of the word repent as acknowledging our sin to God. We repent. We tell him we're sorry. We usually say we're never going to do it again until the next time. And then we repent again. But one of the definitions of the word repent means to change your thinking. And all of us are going to have to change our thinking. Just like the other night I read that Lazarus came forth, but he was bound with grave clothes. We come into this kingdom with some wrong thinking. And we're going to have to change our thinking to get with the kingdom program. Not just the program, the kingdom program. There was the gospel. Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom. The church, for the most part, is preaching the gospel of salvation. There's more than that. The kingdom includes everything that Jesus preached. The next one, Matthew 4, 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here we have it again. He talked a whole lot about the kingdom of heaven, and it's at hand. That means it's right here. It's not a faraway, distant place. It's right here. He brought the kingdom, the message of the kingdom, and he wanted us to receive it, understand it, and begin to walk in it and establish it on the earth. Look at Mark 1, 14 and 15. Mark 1, 14 and 15. Now after John was, that was John the Baptist, after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, now he adds something else, and believe the gospel. Repent and believe what he is saying. Okay? I had this vision one time. I'd gone to talk with a lady. She had called me and asked me to come pray for her. She was having some health problems. And I was sitting at her table, and some years ago, probably 10 years ago, this fad came in where you had this fish in a bowl, you know, a bowl about this big, with this big fish with flat, you know, like feathery-looking wings. Beautiful fish, and they had one plant in the bowl that had leaves and roots. And that fish was confined in this little tiny place, but it had everything it needed. The elements that the fish needed was water, air, light, and food. That's all it needed. As long as the elements, even though it was tiny, the fish was happy because it had all of its elements. And while she was sitting there, it was so weird because I was hearing every word she was saying, but God is saying, see that fish? I'm like, I'm still hearing her, but I'm hearing him. It's strange. Okay, I see the fish. That fish has everything it needs in that tiny, confined place. But you remove one element, and that fish is going to go into a panic. One element, one of its comforts, and it will go into a panic. If you put it in a closet and close off the lights, plant's going to die, food will have no fish. If you pour the water out, fish is going to die without the water. And God said, that's how you are. That's how my people are, my creation. As long as they have all of their elements, they can have peace, they can have joy. But see, at this time, hell had come to my house through rebellion of our middle son. Believe me, an element was disturbed in our house. And I was feeling that in my home. But trusting God, I'm just continuing to do what God's called me to do. But God is showing me how we're like that fish. Well, while I'm looking at that bowl, all of a sudden, I was sucked up. And I saw the United States with billions of little fish bowls. You know, and it represented everybody in the United States. And I was like, whoa, that's interesting. And then even further up, and the whole earth was one big fishbowl with all these fish in it. Well, I still don't know what all that means, but anyway, in this day and time, there are a lot of distractions taking place. That's going to be Satan's number one way to pull you aside and isolate you, to kill you. That's how he works. He'll distract you, pull you aside, isolate you, and then try to destroy you. He'll either make you get depressed, sit down, get confused, but not do. He'll make you quit, get discouraged, angry, whatever the thing is. So we have to beware of distractions in this day and time. When I left here last year, came to Glenn's funeral, and I was driving home, and I only have to turn three times to get here. In a 350-mile trip, I only have to turn three times. Go straight up 96, turns into 59, turn, and then turn in Arkadelphia. Real easy trip, all highway. It's a great drive. But on the way home, I was on this wide-open highway, and it was crazy windy. You know, March, it's usually windy in March, but that year, it got windy in like October, November, and it was crazy windy. October, November, December, January, February, March, April, May, June, July. And then we had that drought. You know, the wind caused everything to be very dry. And when I was driving home, at one point, I said, I bind the tires of this car to this road because the wind was so strong. I drive a little Honda. It felt like I could tip. Well, the closer you get to my house, the closer the trees come to the road. And then you're in like this tree tunnel. And I was noticing that the wind was weird. Usually a wind will blow the trees. They bend in unison. You know, wherever, which way the wind blows. These were whipping. The trees were just whipping. I was looking out of my windshield and thinking, what in the world? This is weird. And I don't know if I saw it in the spirit or what, but it just seemed like these huge entities, spirit entities, were just flying to and fro in the atmosphere. And it was like, wow. Something's changed in the atmosphere. There's something, a more active demonic activity in the atmosphere. And I know we're going to start seeing things that we've never seen before. Demons are really going to start manifesting themselves very soon. And we're going to need to know what to do when that time comes. It's not to be scary. This is not meant to scare you. It's meant to encourage you and empower you to start stepping out and using the things that we have heard this week that we have. Okay, the next scripture is Luke 19:13. Luke 19:13. Okay, this is a parable. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but part of it. Let's start at 11. And as they heard these things, he added and spoke a parable because he was near to Jerusalem and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds, and he said unto them, occupy till I come. That word occupy means to take or hold possession of, to reside in as an owner or a tenant. See, Jesus is this nobleman, and he went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and return. And he left his servants to occupy until he came back. That's us. We are to occupy this place until he comes back. Let's look at another one. Genesis, let's see, wait, 34. Okay, Mark 13:34 says, Jesus is talking to them about being watchful. He says, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels who are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is like a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Now that word watch means to be vigilant. It means wake up, rise up, stand up, and take up. That's what we need. That's what we are to do. He took the journey. He left his house, that's the earth and the church, and gave authority to the servants, that's us, and to every man his work. His work. To every man his work. That's what we're going to do. His work, not our work. His work. A lot of people want to get in their program and have Jesus join them. No, we are to join his work, his kingdom. We don't establish our kingdom. It's his kingdom. It's all about him and his kingdom. Okay? Look at Genesis 1:26. We're going to jump way back now to when man was created. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. Now listen to this. The fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Do you hear that? Dominion. That word means supreme authority, sovereignty, supreme in power and authority. And then it says, and God blessed them in verse 28 and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. The word subdue means to conquer and bring into subjection. Do you believe that? What the word says. We're going to have to believe what the word says. And that dominion thing and the fish of the sea, over every creeping thing, you have dominion over those things. Now, I've told stories here about going fishing and speaking to the fish. I take dominion over you. I command you to bite my hook. Instantly, I caught a fish. Now, and you think, woo! But I mean, if God said it, do we really believe it? Do we believe, if you believe it, you'll do it. I was challenged very early in my Christian walk. God said, I read James 5:14. Now, I had 3 little kids at the time. We were all sick, except Mike. Mike was pretty healthy, but the rest of us were sick pretty much all the time. And I read 5:14, and I said, Lord, wouldn't it be wonderful if that's really the way it was? We just call my elders of the church, and they pray for us, and we get healed? And he said, what do you mean, if? This is my word. You either believe it or you don't. Uh-oh, now I'm on the spot. I got to make a choice. And I said, okay. Well, if it's in here, I'll believe it. Then I was reading further back in James, don't be a hearer but a doer. If you're a hearer only and not a doer, you deceive your own self. Well, there's another challenge. Well, okay. If I hear it, I'll do it. Now, that's a challenge in this world, to hear the Word of God and do it. But that's what He wants us to do. He wants us to be doers of His Word. Occupy. Be about His business. We get saved and we think it's just supposed to make us have peace and joy and love and happiness and all that stuff. No, we are to occupy. We are to live in this place and have dominion over the earth until He comes back for it. So we have a lot of work to do. Okay, look at Isaiah 53. We've looked at this before. This is just a review, like I said. We're going to look at some things that we all know, but we need a refresher course, evidently. Isaiah 53, speaking of Jesus, verse 3, He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. That's what it says. You believe that? Okay. You know, in any time, if you've ever been the recipient of an inheritance, you know you don't get it till that person is dead, right? You don't get it till they're dead. Well, I did get one time that was alive. That was a miracle, but we won't talk about that tonight. But Jesus is alive. But He has given us an inheritance. And once when I came here, I was going to teach on healing, and God gave me this idea. And my husband and I have a little business in Jasper, and we rent from the attorney who is next door to us. And I went over and asked him if I could have a blank will and testament. And he gave me one. And what I did, because God showed it to me, we have a will and testament from Jesus Christ. And I did a word study on those things. Now, I want you to think about one affliction or problem or pressure or anything in your life that's not mentioned in these words. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. The word born means to lift, accept, carry away, eased, or took away. Grief, disease or disorder of body or mind, anxiety, weakness, sickness, affliction, calamity, which means a state of deep distress or misery caused by a major misfortune or loss. Made sorry, sore, writhing in pain. Do you remember I talked about the childbirth thing the other day? There it is, writhing in pain. Carried means to carry, suffer the burden, be a burden, and labored. Sorrows, anguish or extreme pain or distress of the body or mind, mentally, emotionally, physically. Sadness, continued pain or distress. Afflictions, any cause of continued pain or distress. Blemishes, destructions. Wounded is injured by cutting or breaking bodily tissue. Broken open as with a wedge. That he was wounded for our transgressions. His bodily tissue was broken with the beating and the torture that he took. Broken open as with a wedge. Profaned or violated or treated with irreverence. They did that to Jesus. Abuse, contempt, desecrate. Transgressions means rebellion, sin, and trespass. Bruised means beat to pieces, break, destroy, humble, or humiliate, such as to destroy the power or prestige of, smite with sudden hard blows, oppress or treat cruelly, to burden the spirit by harsh cruelty. Iniquities is perversities, moral evils, faults, mischiefs, wrongdoings, and sin. Chastisements of our peace, it means correction, discipline, rebuke for whatever is keeping us from having peace. He took it. Whatever is keeping you from having peace, he took it. Peace means safe, well or whole, healthy, prosperous, at rest, happy, friendly, complete, and restored. Peace is a good word. You know, Jesus is peace. He said, I am peace. Stripes, black and blue marks, bruise, hurt, wound, and welt. Healed means made well, healthy, mended, cured, repaired thoroughly, made whole, which is free from defect or damage, intact, having all its parts. And at the bottom is written, my child, Jesus is saying in finishing, when I shed my blood on the cross of Calvary, I took upon myself the payment for sin that otherwise would have been required of you. I suffered the shame, punishment, condemnation, and damnation for your sins so you wouldn't have to. You are forgiven. At the same time, I took upon myself the suffering of every disease, sickness, and affliction known to mankind and destroyed its power over you. You are healed. I also suffered all forms of bondage and the torment that goes along with it so you could enjoy complete rest and freedom. You are delivered. I did all this because of my great love for you. I pray you will receive it with all joy. That is our inheritance from Jesus Christ. In Matthew 11:12, let me look at that. Or it might be 12:11. I didn't have that one in my notes. Matthew 11:12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. I said the other day that word violent should describe the church. It means vitally active. Vitally active, energetic, and forceful. And the word force means to go after it and not stop until you get it. I guarantee you if every one of you received an inheritance today from a dead relative that left you a bunch of stuff, you wouldn't waste any time going to get it. And if anybody tried to get in your way of getting it, you would see to it that somebody saw to it that what the conditions of that will were upheld. We need to have that same kind of force with what Jesus Christ died that we could have. Okay. 1 Peter 2:24. Again, speaking of healing. This one is in the past tense. Speaking of Jesus. I'm going to start at 21. For even hereunto were ye called. Did you hear that? For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. You were healed. Look at John 19:30. John 19:30. Okay, that chapter is talking about the crucifixion of Jesus. It says in verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. He said, "It is finished." He did everything. He finished it, and it is a finished work. Now, what we tend to do is when we have a need, we sit in our need and we ask God to move to our need. You're going to have to change your thinking about that. Because what we are going to have to do is to, for us to move to that finished work that He already did. I'm telling you, every healing I received, that's how I got it. Lord, You healed the leper, and I'm sick of this sickness. I had chronic sinus trouble. Chronic. Every year. Two times a year, but it was like 3 months long each time. That's like half a year. I mean, I was sick of it. And if I'm going to say to you what the leper said, if you wanted to, you could heal me. And he said, "I've already done it. I'm waiting for you to receive it." See, I've got to move over there to that finished work that he already did. Did I know how to do that? No. I said, "How do I do that? I want to. How do I do that?" By faith, I heard. Okay. I receive it by faith right now. Of course, I wasn't talking because I lost my voice and had a bag of marbles under here with my glands and had fever and a terrible cough. But I said it. I receive it by faith. I thank you for what you did. He said, "Did I not say it is finished?" Yes. Wow. Now I understand what those preachers say all the time. Jesus has done all he's going to do. Well, don't y'all have things do you want Jesus to do? I would always think, well, where does that leave me? That's not very encouraging if he's done. What about all this other stuff? No, he already did that too. He already did it. We need to change our thinking. We need to repent and get over into that finished work that he's done. That's what it's going to take. We are asking him to do things that he's already done. I think that's why we don't see a lot of our prayers answered because we're asking him to do things he's already done. That would be like me cooking supper and putting it on the table and everybody saying, "Well, when are we going to eat?" Well, it's right there. Sit down and eat it already. I feel like that's what I did it already. You're sitting and you're asking me to do stuff. I've already done it. It must be very frustrating for him. He's waiting for us to move. We're waiting for him to move. He's waiting for us to move. So that's why I say it's your move. Now, how will you respond to all of the things that you've heard this weekend? It's time to move. It's time to change our thinking. Let's see. The next scripture. 1 John 3:8. We heard this one this weekend too. See, this is just kind of like a review. 1 John 3:8. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's what he came to do. We heard that he abolished death. He's healed us. We've heard many things that he's done to destroy the works of the devil. Well, guess what? That's now my purpose. That's my purpose, is to destroy the works of the devil. He left us his work. What was his work? To destroy the works of the devil. What should our work be? To destroy the works of the devil. That's our work. Okay? Look at Luke 4:18. Luke 4:18. Jesus is quoting Isaiah. I think it's Isaiah 61:1-2. Isaiah 61:1-2. Jesus is quoting this in the New Testament. Let me just go up to 16. Talking about him teaching in the synagogues. And he came in verse 16, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. He knew exactly what he was looking for. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." See, Isaiah was speaking of himself. The Spirit of the Lord was upon Isaiah. Now Jesus is saying it. "Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Jesus said, "I am the one that Isaiah even spoke of. I am the one." Well, they were ready to kill him. All of a sudden, "Isn't this Joseph's son? I mean, we know him. He grew up right down the road." So, you know, you have to be careful. But Jesus, the deal is, when I say this scripture before I pray for somebody, I'm saying the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. But guess what? The Spirit of the Lord is in me, because Jesus is in us. So it's even different than what Isaiah was saying. We have the Spirit of the living God in us. And it's everything that Jesus is. It's everything that God is, His power, His Spirit. I didn't want to get into this, but I'm just going to read one scripture from John 17, because I don't want anybody walking away here thinking I'm claiming to be God, because I'm not. But in John 17, in Jesus' prayer, okay, in verse 19, he's praying to God, and he says, "And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone," not just the disciples. He's saying, "I'm not just praying for the disciples, but listen to this, because you and I are in this scripture." Verse 20, "But for them also who shall believe on me through their word." Are we not believing on Jesus through the word that was left to us through the disciples? The gospels. "That they all may be one, as thou, Father, in me," God was in Jesus, "and I in thee," Jesus in God, "that they also may be one in us in them." Now, before this prayer was prayed, he had already been baptized by John the Baptist, and the Holy Ghost had come and filled him. So Jesus was filled with the Holy Ghost and God. And he's saying that we may be one in them. 23, "I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." Frank said that. God loves you exactly the way he loves Jesus. Do you believe that? Do you believe it? You have to believe it. It's the word of God. You either believe it or you don't. Or you're calling God a liar. That's just the way it is. Okay, so the Spirit of the Lord is not only upon us, but it is in us. God, Jesus, the Holy Ghost. We have, it says in another place, we have received all His fullness. All His fullness. He's not holding back one thing from us. Not one thing. Okay, now let's look at Hebrews chapter 1, because this is important. Hebrews chapter 1. I'll never forget when God showed me this. It was exciting. I was having a conversation with my son who's in the Mormon church. And it came out of my mouth and I had to look it up because I didn't even know where it came from. Because, see, they have a prophet. They have a prophet in their church. And God speaks to the prophet. And then the prophet tells them. And these words came out of my mouth. I said, here it is. "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things, Frank said this morning too, by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. See, he's not upholding all things by the power of his word. No, by the word of his power. The word of his, this is the word of his power. This is power. Jesus is the word made flesh. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. The word is the most, it is powerful. And when we use the word of God, he's behind it. Those are the words that go forth out of his mouth do not return unto him void. And guess what? Yours don't either. Because we were made in the likeness of God. Our problem is this. James, that was the first book I read. Boy, God knew me really well. I had a problem with my tongue. I had wavering faith. Let not that man think he shall receive anything. Double-mindedness. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. I'm looking for this one. The tongue. And the tongue is a fire. Frank told us, the power of life and death are in your tongue. You can create life or you can create death. And as I try to explain this to people, I say, listen, you are employing either angels or you are employing demons with your word. It's real. It says of the tongue, verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. It sets on fire the course of nature. That is powerful. I learned that, an example of that. My mother was cooking something in a Corning Pyrex, a glass Pyrex double boiler. I was little. I mean, we could barely see the stove, but I remembered that because it was quite freaky. She was standing there watching that water boil in that pot, and she said, I don't know why that pot doesn't break. Seems like that pot would break. I don't see how that glass pot can boil water like that and it doesn't break. And she just kept saying it and saying it and saying it, and it went and busted. That stuck with me. I mean, she's just saying it and saying it and saying it and saying it, and the pot broke. Our word set on fire the course of nature. Make sure you're speaking words of life. It's like striking a match to a fuse on a stick of dynamite. Eventually, that thing's going to explode. That's why it's okay to be angry, but don't sin in your anger. I did that once. Well, probably more than once, but one time that I'm thinking of that I should have not sinned in my anger. You know, you get angry and you'll say something, and you know when it comes out of your mouth you shouldn't have said it, but the sin is not repenting of it immediately. Lord, forgive me for saying that. I cast those words down in Jesus' name. See, I was so angry, and I felt it when I said it, but I was angry, and I refused. I was so angry I would not obey that Holy Ghost check. And it was very damaging, not only to me, but to others. Okay. So, the Word is His power. It's the Word of His power. Don't ever forget that. Okay, let's see. That's number 9. Okay, Matthew 10:1. Matthew 10:1. Now we're going to see Jesus is going to be talking to us. Matthew 10:1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, do you know what a disciple is? A learner? A follower? A pupil? Are we not all disciples? We're all learners of Jesus. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now go to verse 7. He called them, gave them power, and he told them what to do with that power. Verse 7, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. See, the disciples had to be healed and delivered, and it said they received it. So once you receive it, you're certified. You're certified. Don't think that you have to be in a particular position. As soon as you have the blood of Jesus Christ and Him in your life, you are certified. Even the smallest child that knows Jesus has the same power that the greatest, you know, evangelist or the greatest deliverance worker or whatever. We all have it. It's not just exclusive to a few. So heal the sick, cleanse the lepers. Look at verse, 7 and 8, we did that one. Next. Luke 10, look at Luke 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself would come. See, they went before him. They went before he went. But he was planning to go there. And he said to them, look at verse 8. And into whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are there, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come near unto you. So, you know, if you go into the city, I go visit my mother. She tells me about somebody. Let's go pray for them. Let's go heal them. You know, he didn't say pray for the sick. He said heal the sick. Heal the sick. It's in you. Heal the sick. I've prayed for people. They've gotten healed. Was it me? No, but when you obey the work of God, the Word of God, it opens doors for miracles. If you don't do it, you'll never see it. If you don't do it, you will never see it. And it's time for us to start doing it. The church, like Patty said, listen, things are fixing to hit the fan. There won't be enough room in this place. But the deal is, we're all going out. We take it with us. Take it where you're going. And don't wait for someone to give you permission. You know, if you're just having coffee with a neighbor and they're in distress, find that whatever it is. Like Don said, the butt spirit. If people, you know, people are constant. You don't have to know. I asked Frank Marzullo one time. He said, you don't have to know the name of the demon. If you don't know what, you thing that's causing that to happen, I bind you and command you to go in Jesus' name. It's simple. It really is. And it's very effective. Once you start doing it, you'll just be encouraged and more encouraged and more encouraged. While I'm at it, let's look at Mark 16. That might be the next one anyway. No, wait. I don't want to pass anything up. What did we just read? Luke 10:1? And we read 8 and 9. Okay, go to 10:19 now. So the 70 went out, they did what Jesus said, and they came back in verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject unto us through thy name. They were amazed at the things that had happened. And Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And then, of course, everybody always says, but, you know, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Don't minimize what they were saying. I get upset when I hear people minimize. You know, it's like we just kind of skim over that. Yeah, but be happier that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, one of the reasons your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life is so you can go do what Jesus did and do the works that he's given us. And don't be afraid to do it. You know, that seven sons of Sceva thing, those guys were sorcerers. They had no power. They didn't have Jesus. They said, we do this in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. Well, that's secondhand. That's nothing. That's why they got beat up and stripped naked. That's not going to happen to you. Use the name of Jesus. Okay, Mark 16. This is important because this is going to help you not be so timid. Mark 16, verse 15. Jesus said, this is right before he ascended into heaven. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow those who believe. Now, if we stop right here, and I said, how many of you in here have cast out a demon? How many of you are speaking with a new tongue? Now, I'm not going to ask how many are taking up serpents. That's not a literal thing. That I do know. I'm a literal-minded person. I would never take up a serpent. Although, God told Moses to pick up the serpent. I probably would say, are you sure? Really? And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. How many here have laid hands on the sick, and they have recovered? Okay, that's pretty good. Although every hand in this place, if you are a believer, should be going up at every single one. If we were judged to be believers by these things, we would make about a 45 in this crowd. That would be the overall grade. It needs to be 100, right? Let's have 100. Okay, but this is what I wanted to say, because when I first started doing this, I would be really scared. I would, you know, Lord, please come with me. Lord, I hope you're in this with me. Oh, Lord, anoint me. Oh, Lord, you know, all this crazy stuff. Listen to what it says. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat out on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord, working with, now, he just said he's sitting at the right hand, but he's working with and confirming the word with signs following. Amen, it says. Amen. So see, when you go and do what he said, he's with you. He's going to work with his word, and he's going to confirm it with signs following. So don't be scared. That's what he says. You believe it? And there should be no timidity, no fear. His word is true. Okay. Now we're going to look at John 14:10. Because y'all are getting commissioned. Jesus said, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, how many believeth on Jesus here? The works that I do shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. That's what the believer does. The believer does what Jesus does. He's gone. And he's given us his work, and we are to occupy until he comes back. His kingdom, not ours. Okay? Now, turn to 2 Kings, and I'm going to give you an example from the Old Testament how we should be. 2 Kings chapter 2. This is a picture of us. Look at verse 12. Now, y'all know the story of Elisha and Elijah. Elijah was a mighty man of God. He did mighty miracles. And Elisha wanted to be like Elijah. And so he was going to stick close because his desire was that when Elijah left, that the mantle that was on Elijah would fall on Elisha. See, we are Elishas. Jesus is Elijah. And we want that mantle that was on him to fall on us. And this is what he did. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. See, that's how we should be. That mantle that was on Jesus to heal the sick, cleanse the leper, cast out demons, preach the gospel, raise the dead. All those, that mantle is now on in us. Pick it up. Begin to use it. We should be like Elisha. We should be running to that first challenge, smiting the water with that thing and saying, I know God is in it. He's in it. He's in us. And he wants us to do these things. Okay, look at, getting close to the end. 2 Corinthians 1:20. I want you to know that God's promises are true. Verse 19, let's do 18. But God is true. Our word toward you was not yea and nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among you by us, by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him, yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. By us. The promises are yea and amen. All the promises of God are yea and amen. Hebrews 10:35. This is what happens to us. Hebrews 10:35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. We lose our confidence. We start wondering if this is really what we're supposed to be doing. Or maybe we prayed for somebody and they didn't recover, so now we're not so sure we've got what it takes or whatever. He says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after having done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he shall come. He that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. That's what we have now, faith in Jesus Christ. That's how we have to live. He says, live by faith. Yes, we're people of faith, and yes, we have faith, and there are times that come in our life that we exercise that faith. But he says, live by faith. That means everything is to be by faith. And you know what else that means? It means that we need to be faithful in the waiting. Whatever we're waiting for, be faithful in the waiting. Don't lose your confidence. Oh, yeah, this doesn't work. I'm going back out in the world. Forget this. No, don't lose your confidence. Now, I'm going to show you what God said to me, and I'm going to say it to you. And this is the part that I want you to leave with this weekend about changing your mind about some things. I want you to look at Exodus 14 because we're all going to have a time when our backs are going to be against the Red Sea. It's different. Your thing is going to be different than mine and your neighbor's is going to be different from ours. But when my back was against the Red Sea, this is what God said to me. And I'm going to say it to you because this is what we're going to have to do. Exodus 14, verse 13. His back was to the Red Sea. He had all of Israel standing in front of him. Let's just say this is the Red Sea behind me. And all of y'all are freaking out because the Pharaoh's coming to recapture you. It says, and Moses said unto the people, Now, he's poor Moses. Can you imagine? They're all looking to him. He's got his back to the Red Sea. What is he going to do? Hey, he's going to cry out to God. He's standing there, and he's trying to calm the people down. He doesn't know what to do, but calm down already. Fear not, fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. He's prophesying now because he's in a pickle. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. That's his hope, right? He didn't know that anything was going to happen yet. He's prophesying, and we need to learn to do that. We need to start speaking with inspiration our desired end over a matter. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And then in verse 15 it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, why are you crying out to me? Isn't that something to say? That's exactly what happened to me when I was crying out day after day. It was like my faith rug had been pulled out from under me. I was laying on the floor gasping for breath, begging God for help. And one day he said, why are you coming to me with that? I was like, what? Well, what? Who else is there? Listen to what he said to Moses. Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Okay, y'all going into the Red Sea. Go forward. That seems impossible. Unreasonable even. And then in verse 16, but lift thou up thy rod. See, he gave him that staff. He threw it down and became a snake. He picked it up. God said, I'm giving you my power in that rod. Now you use it. See, he's given us authority. He's given us power, and it's time to use it. Use it boldly. He gave it to us. He wants us to have it. He wants us to use it. We've been sitting around too long asking God to do it for us. But raise up thy rod. Stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. God said to me, why are you coming to me with that? Did I say to you that if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you would ask me to move your mountain? And I said, interesting. No, I think it says that if I have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, I shall say to the mountain. See, we're asking God to move our mountain. He told us to do it. How long has your mountain been sitting there? Really, how long have you had the mountain? We're waiting for God to move our mountain. God's waiting on us to get over there in the thing and do what he told us to do. It's time. We can't wait this out any longer. How are you going to respond? Look at, let me look at Matthew 17:20. I didn't put a note by it to know what it is. Matthew 17:20. Oh, that's the mustard seed. Okay, now look at 1 Samuel 17. One more thing. 1 Samuel 17. This is the story of David and Goliath. I'm going to show you another principle God showed me, because you're going to need it. Because believe me, he's going to taunt you. First, he's going to tell you, oh, all that stuff that you got up there, it's not real. You didn't get delivered of anything. They'll even come back and dance in front of your face and say, see, I'm still here. I'm serious. 1 Samuel 17, look at verse 41. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, now the Philistine, that's Goliath, he disdained him. He made fun of him. He ridiculed him. What? You little shrimp? You little pipsqueak? They sent you out here against me? Trying to make him see his littleness and his powerlessness. For he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? Which is like a new shoot on a plant that you can pinch off with your fingernail. You don't pinch a branch. But a stave is that new growth that you can pinch. And the Philistine cursed David by his gods, the Philistine gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord God of hosts." He said, "In my name you shall." David used the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel whom thou hast defied. "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistine to this day." See, we forgot about the host. We just think about Goliath. He took the host. All of them. Wiped them out. "The host of the Philistines this day, and to the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." That's what our job is in the world, is to show them there is a God. There is a God. And then he did it. He took that giant down. So what God showed me in the midst of my battle, when Satan was saying, "I've got all three of your kids. You just thought you were going to train them up in the way that you just thought they were going to be godly kids. You just thought, I've got all three of your kids." Well, God taught me through David, you turn that thing around. No, you do not have all three of my kids. They have all professed Jesus Christ as their Savior. They were baptized into Him, and they will serve Him all the days of their life. It might not look like it right now, but they belong to Him. They will never serve you. See, that's what we're going to have to do. You're going to have to get bold with the devil. You're going to have to get in his face. It's not the time to cower. If you cower, he's going to eat you alive. It's time to stand up. Now, I'm going to show you how. Look at Romans chapter 4. This is where you're going to have to get. That's what I want you to go home with. Romans chapter 4. You know, Abraham was promised a son, Isaac. You know how long he waited for that kid? You know, I've looked at it two or three times. I always get mixed up. It's 20 to 25 years he waited for Isaac. That's a long time to wait. My son's been in the Mormon church 14 years. I don't like it. God showed me he's coming out. But a few years ago I said, "Lord, it's been 10 years. And the Lord said, "Well, how long did Abraham wait?" "Oh, 25. Want to wait 25 years, but you know, at least you got Isaac, you know. I mean, I'm going to be patient and faithful in the waiting. I'm not going to lose my confidence. It doesn't discourage me because of this, what God showed me. Okay, look at verse 17. Okay, we know that he was promised a son. They got kind of tired of waiting. So Sarah has this brilliant idea to give him her handmaiden. I wouldn't have been a good Sarah. I would have never done that. I wanted a baby, but I would have never given my handmaid. Okay. I don't think. You know, people who are desperate for children are doing some really desperate things to get a baby. And I probably would have done it because I wanted a baby. "As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed." God. That's who he believed. "Who giveth life to the dead and calleth those things which are not as though they were." That has gotten a bad rap in the Christian. You know, like Frank said, I've been called that too. "Oh, you're one of those blab it, grab it, name it, claim it." Yes, I am. Because if you don't claim it, you're not going to have it. Misuse has caused that to not be used, it not be done. It's caused people not to do this because of that. But that was God's idea. Abram said several times, "I have no son. What about that seed? You said something about a seed. I have no son. I'm going to have to leave an inheritance to my servant boy in my castle," whatever. You know, he's challenging God. God said, "All right, that's it. I'm changing your name to Abraham." Abraham means a father of a multitude. Now, you're going to call yourself that even though you don't have a kid. Everywhere he went, "My name's Abraham." And they're going, "He's a father of a multitude." he's childless. You know, that's a challenge to call those things that are not as though they are. It's a challenge for me to say, when God said another time, all three of your children are in training for the ministry. Those are the words. He told me after New Year's, stop rehearsing the hell and let the words that I said about your children be what comes out of your mouth. It's time for us to become those sons and daughters who prophesy, speak what God has said. Even if you have to, if all the promises are yea and amen, find you one. Begin to speak it over your situation. Everything in that you will ever have a problem with is in this word. Everything. There's nothing in here that wasn't there at some time. And you can find that scripture. I knew that scripture. God showed it to me with Mike because he was being persecuted on the job. I mean, he was losing sleep and losing weight. It would make me sad to send him to work every day. And I said, Lord, what can I do? And he showed me that scripture in Isaiah 49. I will contend with those that contend with thee. And he did. He did. I didn't ask God to do anything to those people, but God did it. He loves us. He will contend with those who contend with you. You don't have to worry about that. Okay. So, now Abraham is having to say, I'm a father of a multitude. Hello, I'm a father of a multitude. Hello, I'm a father of a multitude. Okay? In verse 18, who against hope, you know, it looked hopeless. He was 100 years old. Poor Sarah. I mean, she's way past childbearing age. Talking about a clock ticking. Hers had ticked a long time. It was a hopeless situation, but it says, Abraham, who, against hope, believed in hope. In that hopeless situation, he held on to his hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not the facts. You're going to have to do that. You better learn to consider not the facts. Because the facts is what Satan is going to use to try to make you think that what you're believing for is never going to happen. Yeah, look. See what they're doing? And you think they belong to God? I consider not. You're going to have to learn to consider not. Okay? In 20, he staggered not at the promise of God. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. I did that. God said, yes, you did. You were faithful to do that. And here are your children manifested in that promise. But you're right here right now. This is where we are on the road. He said, I want you to come up here from my view and take a look. And then I want you to walk right here like that's already done. That is what it means to live by faith. You have to live like it's already done, because if I didn't do that, I would be moping. I would be the one up here crying. I would be the one in asking for prayer for my children. My children, I would be hard. You know, listen, I was there at one time. God told me what was going on. That was the end of it. Satan's trying to shut you up. I've given you a work to do. He wants you to shut up. He wants you to quit. So what's your response going to be? You're going to quit? You're going to learn to fight. You got to fight. Okay? He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. That's what happens when you stagger at the promise. It's unbelief. You'll stagger at the promise. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He was thanking God, I believe, glorifying God every day for that son that was coming. I glorify you, Lord. He was glorifying God in his walk, in his life. He was faithful in the waiting, bringing glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, If we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. It was for us. We can do the exact same thing that Abraham did. That's what he wants us to do. So we're going to have to change our confession. We're going to have to start agreeing with God. You know the power of agreement? Most of us have spent more time agreeing with Satan than we have with God. It's time to change our thinking and change our confessions. Okay, so now, how are you going to respond? Are y'all ready? You've been equipped. You have all that you're going to have. You have it already. What are you going to do with it? Stand up. The first scripture I read was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So let's repent. Father, forgive us for not knowing this before, for not acting on it before, for not taking your word as true, believing it, and doing it. I ask you, Father, right now, give me holy boldness to take what I've heard this week and not be a hearer only, but a doer of your word. I have the same commission that you gave to the 12. I have the same commission that you gave to the 70. I'm ready to do the work. I'm ready to occupy until you come again. I join your kingdom. I move from where I am to the finished work. And I thank you that you've given me power and authority and permission and commission. I want to please you, Lord. Let me walk it out. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm done.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.